Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
There was a woman in John 4. This woman was dry and needy, and she was out in midday collecting water. She was doing that because she was probably not the most popular lady in town. It's an interesting story. Jesus' disciples had gone to get food, and Jesus was left alone in the middle of the day in the heat, sitting on a well and surrounded by no one except this woman comes up. Now, if you're a religious teacher in those days, you don't just hang out with a lady on your own, you know, particularly in Samaria where they were. It was a bit of a compromised situation if you look at it. But what happens is that Jesus starts talking to this lady and starts feeding her and teasing her like about what is possible. And they have this incredible conversation around water and life. And it's like they don't get each other. It's a great context. But what happens at the end is that Jesus says to her in John 4:14, he says, "Whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again." And this woman is looking at the well and going, "It'd be cool if I didn't have to come here every day and get water. Like, that'd be awesome. Can I have some of this water?" She says, "The water that I give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to her, "Sir, give me this water so I'll not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." But my question this morning is, what is this living water that Jesus talks about? Now, unlike the woman, we clearly understand that it's not about not having to come and draw water again. You know, he's just using that picture, that analogy. There's something deeper going on about here. Jesus is talking about water that will quench every part of your thirst. Now, he says to this woman, he says, go find your husband. And it turns out, she says, "Well, I don't have a husband." And Jesus says, "You're right. You had five husbands before, and the guy you've got now is not your husband." You know why he says that? He says, like, there are things that are not satisfying this lady. She's been through so many relationships. Heart's breaking. Jesus says there's something greater than all of the things that you think that maybe you could fill every need with you. Not relationships, not money, not success. There's something inside that you will need that is way more fulfilling and thirst-quenching than any of them. We all desire water. We all need that inner water. But what is it? What is Jesus talking about? This living water, this thing that will quench every need, this thing that'll take your sort of heart, this thing that'll capture your imagination. Well, a little bit later on in John's gospel, yeah, it's kind of a funny passage because they're at this feast, this major Jewish feast, and it's like he's come reluctantly, but he's come there, and he's sort of having a bit of a battle with the religious leaders and the rulers of the time. And he's trying to engage with them and they're just sort of dismissing him. But something incredible happens on the last day in John 7:37. You've got to understand that Jesus is in the temple. Now, if you understand Old Testament thinking, the temple is the place that contains the presence of God. That's where God lives. So if you look all through the Old Testament, the Psalms, they all talk about Jerusalem. They talk about this city that is the place where God dwells, the city of God. And that Old Testament idea that God lived in, he literally did live in the Ark of the Covenant, in the inner sanctum of this temple. But Jesus is standing, right? The presence of God is standing in the middle of the temple. God himself is there. And he shifts the goalposts right here. Look what happens. This is John 7:37. on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, like he gets up on something. And he starts crying out and declaring, and he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Just like this woman he's talked to before. So if you're thirsty, come to me. If you need something, if you've got longing in your heart, I have the answers, come to me. And then he changes it. Look at this. In verse 38, he says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, or some translations say innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Now, I want to unpack this passage because it sort of explains what went on in John 4. He's standing, God himself is standing in the temple. He says, if you're thirsty, if you have needs, if you have something that you desire that's not being fulfilled by your relationships, by your finances, by your career, by your kids, by anything, all those things are good, but they can never satisfy. And they leave us empty and thirsty because there's only one thing that will ever really satisfy us, and that's what Jesus talks about right here. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So what is that? And how come when I get quenched, it flows out? You see, he doesn't say, come to me and you'll never have to drink again. He says, come to me, I'll fill you, but you know what's going to happen? Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. What is that? He explains it, luckily for us, in verse 39. What is this river? Now, he said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were yet to receive. It's the Holy Spirit. Did you know that you and I are now temples? That word temple is simply the idea that we contain the presence of God. In the old days, it was just Jerusalem and God himself lived there. But Jesus is standing up there on the last day of the feast and he's saying, hey, there's something different about to happen. There's a change coming. There's something new on the horizon. And he says this, if you're thirsty, you will actually have water pour out of you, the Holy Spirit. In other words, you will now be a container of the presence of God. And out of you will flow life. Because what happens when a river flows? There's life. Now, I'm going to take you on a journey. I've long been fascinated by rivers and catchments and the idea, the Murray-Darling Basin. Do you know it's a massive, massive catchment that covers four states? And it's basically a great big river catchment and it ends up in Adelaide. It drains most of New South Wales. And it flows right down. Did you know where this thing starts? It starts way up near Black Springs. The very, very little bit of a trickle. I want to take you on a journey down a river this morning. Talking about the river that Jesus is talking about here in John 7. Come with me to Ezekiel 47. Because what Jesus is talking about has actually been prophesied about by Ezekiel some 500 years before. Ezekiel talks about this river. It's amazing. And he talks about the flow of the river and what happens when the river starts to flow out. So let me go to the scripture. Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Now, Ezekiel is seeing a vision. It's an incredible vision, actually. It lasts for something like 8 chapters of this picture that Ezekiel gets of a temple that was never built. But it's intricate, it's detailed, it's got dimensions, it's got heights and sizes. And so you can Google it and look at what it might look like or read through Ezekiel 40 to 47. But the very last little picture of this vision is what we're going to look at. Ezekiel 47 verse 1 says, he brought me back to the door of the temple. And behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple south of the Jordan. He's found the source of the river. He's looking at, and it's a kind of strange picture, isn't it? He's found the original source. And if you look, there's a picture coming up of the source of our river system. It's where springs just start to trickle out. It's like a threshold that starts flowing out. I want to talk about what a threshold is. A threshold is what starts to happen. It's the beginning of something. It's when water rises enough from underground and it seeps out enough, and then it starts to pond and pool. And all around this region, you get all these little ponds and springs sometimes, and they start to feed into a river. Let me talk about a threshold, because what Ezekiel sees is a threshold. He sees something flowing out from under the temple, which is an odd thing. But he's looking at it. What is that? What does it mean? See, it's life flowing out. When you and I jump into the river, it's like something starts to seep out of us, just a little bit. And in church, we're all about bringing life to people. It's all about the flow of life flowing out of us into the world around us. And the threshold here, this little sort of seeping bit, is like that understanding you have when you know that you're loved by the creator of the universe. When you know that you're loved, then the river, the trickle out, means that you start to love other people. You start to see people in a different way. You start to understand people's contexts. You start to become less judgmental. You start to become more loving and kind and gracious towards people. And you start to have compassion on people and empathy, you see? But it's just this little trickle around you, and you'll find little green patches around your world. Who loves green at the moment? Everything's green. It's like when it's dry and weary, that little bit of water that flows out of you might just be to your family. Suddenly your family start to feel more love. Suddenly your workplace, these little green patches of life around your workplace, just small. But it's not where it starts here that counts. It's where it flows to. But you will start to see life in the people around you when you know that you're loved and you start to love other people unconditionally. Now, this is the Holy Spirit's work. And I hope that you start to see that in your world. That's the first kind of step that Ezekiel talks about, this flow of the river. But then he goes on. He says, in Ezekiel's vision, and this is verse 3, going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits. That's about 500 meters. So this vision, this guy measures 500 meters out on. And he led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. This is curious. Like this trickle starts really small. But then as the water flows down and as you get away from the source of the river, you start to see this next scene. You start to see water which is ankle deep. There's a picture here of the next stage of the river, which is ankle deep. And you can see it's no longer little pools and ponds, but it starts to become like I could walk through that, and there's more water flowing out. Remember, this is water that flows out from the temple, which is you. It's amazing. So water, what does this mean? What does it mean to be having water flowing out of you that is ankle deep? Well, it touches more people. It affects more, doesn't it? There's more water, there's more life flowing out. And this is, you know, an idea that you start to include people in your world. You start to reach out, not just your own family context, but you'll find that the Holy Spirit wants to reach out beyond, and you start to include people into the river of God. And you start to discover relationships and friendships, and you have this burning desire to see people healed and whole as you include people into your world. And you'll start to see the Holy Spirit touch lives. The green patches that were just around your world start to become green patches a bit further on. Maybe distant relatives, maybe families and friends, maybe other parts. Maybe you start to run into people and this river that's flowing out of you, it brings life wherever it goes. But it's only ankle deep. It's like a child could play in that water, you know? It's just getting underway. And I bet he's looking back at the threshold of the temple and there's this little bit of water and it becomes deeper and deeper. And the next step, in verse 4, it says, again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water and it was knee deep. It's like, it's getting a bit difficult to cross this now. What does knee deep water mean? Well, now there's a good size flow coming. There's a picture again of just the next stage up. These are real pictures from the real river that feeds our dam. This is what's happening. There's water that's rising. This water is coming up. It's filling. It's flooding. It's starting to make a difference. What does it mean that water's knee-deep? The next part of our journey of life is free. You start to be an agent of freedom. You start to set people free. You start to share your faith with people. You start to see people come alive around you because this is spiritual water. It's not just kindness and love and, you know, the different things that anyone can do. Now you start to pray for people and set them free. Now you start to see people come to know that Jesus really loves them. Now there's this flow and this significant amount. You can't ignore it. You can't sort of cross through that without getting too wet. But then it goes on. It says, as he led me through 1,000 again, it was knee deep, and then it was waist deep, and again, verse 5, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Have you seen it? Can you see the flow of the river? This is what Jesus talks about in John 7. When he stands up, he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This is so exciting because that's you and me. We talk about rivers. We talk about water. But Jesus says, whoever.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.